People are different from each other. Some people can only focus on one thing at a time. Others aren't happy unless they have a whole bunch of projects all going on at the same time and they're busy, busy, busy. Then there are some people who are so focused, so laser focused, that they can only do one thing at a time, and they're so focused on that project that it's scary. There's a story about something that happened a long time ago during the 1946 Army-Oklahoma football game. Oklahoma coach Jim Tatum was on the sidelines pacing like a crazy man, like he always did every game, I guess. And the Army had taken a lead, and they were losing 21-7. Near him, their punter was sitting, and he had sprained his ankle. And back in those days, they just soaked it in a bucket of ice when something like that happened and told them that they were going to be in for the next play when they're needed anyway. So he's sitting there soaking in a bucket of ice water. And as the stress of the game dries out his throat, the coach reaches down. Without taking his eyes off what's going on the field, he reaches down into the bucket of ice water that the player's foot was, lifts his foot gently out, sets it off to the side, picks up the ice bucket, takes a drink, sets it back down, puts the player's foot back in there, and goes about his business without ever looking away from the field. Now that's what you call concentration. Some people are like that. They are totally focused. I wish I were like that. I am not. I scatter my energy in different directions, and really most of the time too many different directions at the same time. And so some of it gets done, some of it does not. But I envy and I am jealous of people who are able to focus and do one thing before they move on to the next. People are different, even in the same family. Just ask my wife and I whenever we attempt any project at home. We're very different. And I think recently the Benders got just a little bit of a taste of that when they stopped by and we were installing a door. And it was bad timing on their part. Let's just say that. Yeah. We both think very differently, and we do things differently. Mary and Martha were like that. Here they were sisters, and yet they were as different as day and night. Martha was the doer. She was the mother hen. Can't you just see her running around, wiping her hands on her apron, brushing her hair back out of her eyes as she runs around the house, trying to make sure that everybody is taken care of and that she's being a good hostess and that all her guests are cared for. And then there's Mary. Mary's more of a dreamer than she is a doer. She, while her sister runs around doing all the things that she's doing to keep everything in order, she places herself at the feet of Jesus. And she looks up at him, and she is completely focused on what he's saying. He's a great teacher. She's never met anyone like him. Such wisdom, such power. Mary is swept up by his words. Martha wishes that Mary was swept up with the chores that need to be done. All her life, Martha thinks to herself, I've been doing all the work, while my sister has been learning or dreaming. She loved Mary. She just wishes she would do her share. There was so much to be done. There were vegetables to cut. There was fruit to be washed. There were tables to be set. Martha even complained about it to Jesus. She said, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work, to serve alone? Tell her to help me. Jesus loved both of them. My guess is that he had a warm, understanding smile when he looked at Martha's face. And he said, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but only one thing is needful. Mary has taken the good portion, which I won't take that from her. Let's talk for a few minutes about those words that Jesus said that day, because they're a wise advice, not only for Martha that day, but for us today. He said, "You are anxious and troubled about many things." Perfect phrase for our time, isn't it? We're always multitasking. Studies show that 75% of people watching television watch two or more shows at the same time by flipping the channels back and forth. They call those people channel surfers. And by the way, they drive me crazy when I'm in their house. Let me watch one show. But many, many people do that. We are restless people. We are people who are obsessed with many things. And sometimes we get anxious about these many things. And it brings on stress in our lives and anxiety. Stress is killing more of us than we'd like to believe. Almost half of all Americans are thought to have high blood pressure, me included. And half of this number don't even know they have it. Stress is very often found as a major cause for respiratory illnesses, for infections, for arthritis, colitis, asthma, uneven heart rhythms, all sorts of things, all sorts of health problems, uneven heart rhythms, circulatory problems, even cancer. Stress makes it worse. A large percentage of all reported diseases are due in large part to stress. Some of the best-selling prescription drugs in this country are drugs that relax us, drugs for high blood pressure, drugs for ulcers, for our heart, much of which is brought on by a stressful life. And even if our if stress isn't taking a heavy toll on us, even if our health is not at risk, our peace of mind sure is. We're like that couple that had their home broken into. The husband heard a noise in the middle of the night, and he went downstairs to see what was going on, and he found a burglar emptying the silver chest. He said to the burglar, "Hang on, stay right where you are. I want to go get my wife, because she's been worried and expecting you for 20 years now, and she'll probably want to meet you." We are anxious and we are troubled about many things. But listen to what Jesus says. He says to Martha, "One thing is needed." That one thing he was talking about, I believe, is we need to make sure that our priorities are in order. I can save you money. You can skip your next time management seminar. Make sure your priorities are in order. You want to sleep better at night? Make sure your priorities are in order. Maybe even can save you a few trips to the doctor. Make sure your priorities are in order. That's the key to working smart. That's the key to working hard. Make sure your priorities are in order. What are those things in your life that are really the most important? Take care of those things first. Then, if the rest gets done, fine. But it's no big deal if they don't get done or if they get done later. There was a jet that crashed in the Everglades way back in years and years ago. It was Eastern flight number 401. It was bound from New York to Miami with a heavy load of holiday passengers. And as the plane approached the Miami airport to land, there's a little light on the dashboard, I'll call it, that indicates instrument panel, sorry. It's the instrument panel. That indicates the proper deployment of the landing gear. When that light comes on, the crew knows that the landing gear is down and can land safely. Well, the light didn't come on. And so they began to fly in a looping circle as they tried to determine why the light wasn't coming on and whether or not their landing gear was down. They didn't know if it was a problem with the landing gear or the light bulb. And so the flight engineer came and he tried to remove the light bulb, but he couldn't get it out. So the other crew members tried to help him. And as they struggled with this bulb, nobody noticed that the plane was losing altitude. And the plane flew right into the swamp. Dozens of people were killed. While an experienced crew messed with a little, at the time, probably 25% light bulb, the plane with the passengers flew right into the swamp, right into the ground. Now that happens more often than we'd like to admit. It happens in business. It happens at home. It happens in our daily lives. We lose sight of the things that really, really matter. Martha wanted to be the perfect hostess, and that's all well and good. And it's good to do a good job when you have company. It happens to us too. But Jesus was there. Jesus was in her home. He wouldn't be there for very long. And Mary listened and soaked up all the words that she could hear that she knew would make a difference in her life. The needs of people were important. The needs of her guests were important, but not right at this moment. How foolish we can be when we don't keep things in proper perspective. There was a mountain guide whose name was Michael Zanger, and he once told of leading some people up Mount Shasta. One man was having a lot of difficulty breathing as they continued to climb up, and as they progressed, it got worse and worse, and stopping frequently didn't seem to be helping this man. And as they climbed higher, he started to cough, and then as they went higher, he began to occasionally spit out blood, and it was apparent that he was obviously getting worse and worse. And then a sudden snowstorm hit, so they had to stop and set up camp where they were. And Michael thought that this man might die. Maybe he was having heart failure, he didn't know. And so he offered the man to, should we call someone to come and rescue you, take you from here? And the sick man said, sure, would you let me make a personal call? And he thought to himself, this man thinks he's critical. He wants to speak to his loved ones, I suppose, for thinking that it might be his last time. And so he said, sure, go ahead and make a personal call. He dials the phone and Michael can't believe what he's hearing. He's speaking to his broker in San Francisco, and he's asking him what the value of his stock is today. It's a true story. It really happened. Pretty absurd priorities, I would have to say. When we're anxious about things, it may be that our priorities are out of order. And then that brings us to our last point. There's one priority that will make all the rest easier. And that is this: spend a little time, even if it's only a few minutes, each day at the feet of Jesus. Now, what do you mean, Alex? He's not here. Well, yes, he is here. Sit in your favorite chair. Sit on your couch. Driving in your car. Don't close your eyes. Driving in your car. Wherever you might be that it's comfortable for you, just have a little talk with God each day. It doesn't have to be long. It doesn't have to be fancy. We don't have to use big words. Good morning, God. Thank you for waking me up this morning. I pray for a good day, and I pray that you use me to be a help to someone today. Something simple like that. You don't have to spend 3 hours in the scriptures and 4 hours in prayer. Just spend a little time each day doing what Mary was doing. Let's learn from Mary's example, because it was a good example. Take some time and sit at the feet of Jesus. Moments spent in his presence helps us to sort out our priorities, to get them right, during the day, especially when life gets hard. Time spent with God is essential. We must have it if we're going to get through the day and do what's right. Norman Vincent Peale once wrote about a visit that he made to Belgium, and this was after World War II. He went to a place called Breendonk. Well, during the war, Breendonk had been a horrible prison where the Nazis had held loyal, patriotic Belgians that had resisted them. And the Nazis treated them like animals. They kept them in cages, little cells, very small. They tortured them, did everything they could to crush their spirits. But the prisoners kept up their courage, even in the worst times. And after walking through one of those dark, dismal passageways after the war was over, Peale said he asked his guide, how could they stand all of this? How could they stand up under this terrible stress of trying to survive in a horrible place like this? And the guide told Peale to follow him, and he would show him exactly how they survived. He took him way back into one of the darkest cells of the prison, as far back as you could go, and he showed him a crude outline of a man's face on the wall in this cell. Someone had carved it in the stone on the wall. It was someone's drawing of the face of Jesus, the best they could do. And then he said, when things were the hardest and our people were about to give up because they thought they could stand it no more, they would come in here, into this cell. They would put their hands on the face of Jesus to remind themselves that they were not alone, that he was always with them, even through all of this. The guide told Peale that one night, when he was a child, the Nazis came and took away his father. He said he never saw him again. They learned after the war that he had been taken to this prison camp. And though they couldn't be sure, they felt that he probably had died there. He said, my father was a Christian. We were told by some who survived that very often he would go back to this little cell, and on his knees, he would place his hands on the face of Jesus and spend some time with him. These soldiers knew where to turn to make their lives bearable. Mary knew where to turn. She positioned herself so she could look at the face of Jesus. Many wise people since then have learned that same lesson. You and I, these days, it's hard not to be anxious about many, many things. May I suggest, let's really think it through. Let's really get our priorities straight. And let's set aside a few minutes to spend a little bit of time each day on our knees, looking into the face of Jesus. Amen.